This is the other Arthurian Mythology AU, a Star Wars original trilogy oral not-fic created by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG and contains the pairing Han, Luke, Leia, as well as Han, Luke, Leia, Han. Yeah, that's all three of them in all possible ways, with additional tags for twincest, vaguely Middle Ages, AU, magic, con men, and Arthurian mythology. This oral notfic was directly inspired by background for a four-poster bed, an oral notfic created by Litra as part of Drop the Knot 2022. I think if I was going to do a Han, Luke, Leia, Arthur, AU, I would do it where Leia is Arthur, Han is Guinevere, and Luke is Lancelot. And it would be the kind of thing where Lancelot is Arthur's closest companion, his strongest supporter, his right-hand man in all situations, right? So it would be the kind of thing where Leia is the child who is set to inherit the kingdom, and Leia is the heir and Luke is the spare. So she fills the Arthur position, Luke fills the Lancelot position, and they both get sent to do, for reasons of we need to protect you as a child, combined with cultural, this is what you do with your kids kind of thing, they both get sent to fostering. Maybe Leia gets kind of a, let's see, Leia gets fostered with the royal house of Alderaan, so she still has a parental relationship with Bail and Rhea, and Luke gets sent to one of the far-flung outer reaches of Camelot, which is Tatooine, and they don't see each other for years, but eventually they come home and manage to rekindle the closeness they had as children, but also they've grown up enough that they're not completely entwined the way they were as children. Okay, that's it. They have enough magic, the Force, in them that their parents, who are never referred to by name, they are possibly Anakin Padme or possibly sort of generic parent figure, saw baby Leia and baby Luke, like, doing the twin thing, knowing things they shouldn't have, kind of excluding all the other children and wrapping themselves in their own world in just themselves. So that's part of the reason they're both sent away to be wards, rather than just Luke. And because, like, it might have been more traditional for Leia to stay in the palace and learn diplomacy and ruling and history and, you know, politics at her parents' hand. But because she and Luke have that little bit of magic enough that they were starting to close their world to just themselves, they both get sent out. So Luke does, the kids grow up in the palace until 9, 10. And then they get sent off into the wider world. And Leia gets sent to, so maybe not the royal palace, the duchy of Alderaan. And she grows up with Winter as the child of the royal family over there, and she grows up under the tutelage of Brea and Bail, and she learns things that would be important to ruling a kingdom. And Luke, as a page and a knight in training, goes out to the Lars border fief of, okay, we're going to inspire this a little bit by King Arthur and a little bit by Tortle, border fief of Tatooine, and learns the sort of manual labor thing and the fighting skills thing from old Ben, who is a previous member of Camelot's, if not the King's Council, then definitely part of the court, who has left under mysterious circumstances. And he's trusted, but also he refuses to return home. And possibly it's because Anakin, Padme, Obi-Wan, OT3 ended badly or something. Prophecy, magic, something. There's things that Luke doesn't know about it. But Luke gets a little bit of the Disney King Arthur when he was ward thing, where, like, you kind of grow up and don't fully realize all of your potential weight of destiny on your shoulders. Leia grows up knowing the potential weight of her destiny and the obligations she has to her people that she'll have to fulfill when she gets home. And eventually they both come home, and part of it is, let's say, somewhere between 18 and 21. They've been away from home longer than they ever were home. And it's enough time that they have grown up into people who are distinct from each other, rather than, like, we're so wrapped up in each other that their parents were afraid of. But they come home for, maybe there's an enemy outside the kingdom that has come and their father has gone missing and their mother is dying. And it's sort of echoes back to the end of episode 3. And we, as the viewer, know that this is actually some kind of, my father was fighting the enemy sorcerer, he fell to the enemy sorcerer and became the enemy sorcerer's right hand, that we will find out about later when it bites us in the ass. But right now we think, my father is dead and my mother is dying and I must come home to lead my people in their stead. And Leia is born first in this AU. Leia is the heir, Luke is the spare. Leia is Arthur, Luke is Lancelot, and together they are going to protect the people of Camelot and bring them into a bright new age of prosperity once they finish kicking the Empire next door off of their, borders. Han is Guinevere. Han is in Camelot because he's running a con. He's definitely presenting himself as someone of more noble birth and stature than he actually is. And somehow this catches the eye of the princess, and it's a little bit the Emperor Han dynasty. Things are spiraling out of my control, right? Han is a smuggler and a two-bit thief, and he's incredibly loyal, and he's got this heart of gold, but he definitely has, like, a humble origins kind of thing. He's not a princess, but he's in Camelot, under the pretense of being more wealthy and more connected and more landed than he actually is. And then somehow he catches the eye of the princess, somehow he catches the eye of the prince, and something, they end up married, and Han's like a little bit, oh shit, I have to let this ride, I can't tell the truth, and it's kind of Aladdin like that. Chewie is his valet in this AU, for the con. Actually, Chewie is his, right-hand man. And it ends up becoming through a series of, it's not, okay, we're accidentally picking up this con man and marrying him without doing a background check. It is, he's presenting himself as someone who might be worthy of being a courtier for a con. He's trying to, scam somebody who's awful or something. And while that's happening, there is an incursion, an attack on Camelot by the Empire next door. And it ends up being a little bit Anastasia, where the princess and the prince get pushed through a hole in the wall in the dining room while the palace is under attack. And Han is the one who pushes the door closed. Only he goes through too. He's not on the wrong side of the door. He does know how the princess escapes. And when they're on the run together, Luke and Leia and Han end up having King Arthur type adventures. Because they're out in the world and they need to either recruit aid of some kind or else find a mythical weapon that'll resonate with Luke and Leia's magic or something. So either they have to go find the Lady of the Lake or they have to go find this universe's equivalent of the Rebels. But they have to have some adventures before getting back to Camelot to kick the Empire out. And that is when, upon the return, over the course of these adventures, Luke and Leia and Han end up in a incredibly deep, you know, you have my sword, you have my bow, you have my axe kind of situation, combined with we only have enough gear for, you know, co-sleeping, and we have to share a mattress, or, you know, bedroll. There's no mattress. So there's a combination of adrenaline, and you're the only rock I can cling to in this time of strife, and also, my life was in danger and you saved me, that leads to this great developing fondness, turns to love, turns to deep impenetrable bond between Leia and Han, and between Luke and Han. And Leia and Luke already have the twin thing, so, like, even though distance was enough to kind of mute the twin thing, once they get back in contact with each other, like, they're firm enough in their own self to not get overwhelmed by the other, but Leia and Luke absolutely have, like, a shared dream twin thing happening because of the magic. And so, like, the emotions of Leia feed to Luke and influence his feelings toward Han, and the emotions of Luke feed to Leia and influence her emotions toward Han, and then it is absolutely we are related, and it is absolutely twincest, because who knows you better than the mirror version of yourself? And somewhere along the line, when they're having adventures and there's like a little bit of hopelessness because they're like, okay, we're doing this to get home and save our people and kick the Empire out, but what if it doesn't happen? And there's like a moment of hopelessness. Well, at least we'll always have each other. And it's not the princess and the heir and the spare and the con man who shouldn't be here. It is Luke and Leia and Han. And the three of us are all that we have against the rest of the world. So they absolutely fall into bed with each other. And then there's a series of shenanigans and important events. Eventually they do, you know what, they do go to the Lady of the Lake. They do get the sword. They do get, I don't know, you want the Lady of the Lake to be Ahsoka with her Gandalf cloak, and she's kind of Nimue, and she kind of gives them, here's a way you might use your magic pointer, but while also being super hella cryptic. And then they make their way back to the palace, and they find that the Empire has held the people of Camelot under siege, and it's kind of, this is an occupied state, and the people are suffering, but not that much, because the Empire does want to, like, take over, and you can't do that if the people are all dead. But the people aren't happy about it, and they would prefer to be under the rule of the royal family who has been here for generations. Only Luke and Leia walk in, and there's something about the magic of Camelot as a city, right? Because, like, part of the, one of the versions of the story is that Camelot didn't exist until it did. Like, one day it was never there, and one day, the next day, it had been there for 500 years. That it was a magic creation kind of thing. And if we feed that a little bit, there's something about the magic of the royal family that suffuses the city and shouldn't have been able to, from Leia and Luke's perspective, they should never have been able to have been infiltrated and conquered the way that the invasion happened. It could only have happened by someone of the family to let the wards down or to lend legitimacy so the very kingdom itself does not kick them out. And that's how they find out that their father has been turned into, what is it, a lick? Is that when it's like an animated corpse or whatever? Essentially, their father is under the magical control of the emperor next door. And he's the meat puppet. And the worst part about it is he thinks he wants it because the emperor's got a loop going in their father's head that this is well and right and should be done to save his children. Vader parallels! And then Luke and Leia and Han have to do a sneaking into the castle, not a storming the castle thing. And they find Chewie in the dungeons, and they let him out. And there's a showdown in the throne room. Because they fight their way past, and they sneak their way past the dressed kind of like Nilfgaardians from The Witcher Netflix, but in white, because this is the fantasy aesthetic, are the stormtroopers. So they sneak their way, and they fight their way past the Empire's men. They make their way to the throne room, and there is a showdown with their father where they have to break the spell in order to expel. They have to break the Emperor's spell over their father in order to expel the stormtroopers. However, the thing is, the reason the Emperor was able to ensnare their father like that is because he was mostly dead on the battlefield. He was weakened, and the only thing keeping him alive is the Empire's magic. And that's the hard choice that Luke and Leia have to make. Nobody wants to be a kin killer. Nobody wants to be a king killer. But in order to save the people of the Kingdom of Camelot, they have to kill their father in order to break the Emperor's hold and to expel the people of the Empire's people. And that's like the sacrifice magic. They can't just break the spell. They have to sacrifice what's left of their father in order to do it. And Luke steps up because Leia is fully ready to do it. But Leia is the heir and Luke is the spare. And in this, he would protect his sister. In this, he would make it so that the stain of being a kin killer is on him and not on the ruler of Camelot. And Leia and Han both stand witness to this, so that at least if Luke's going to do it, he's not doing it completely alone. And when he does take the sword from the Lady of the Lake and he does stab it through the mostly, at this point, mostly magical construct, barely any of his father left, that stands before him, Leia and Han are there to catch him as he falls and to console him. And he doesn't do it alone. And in the aftermath, Han's like, doesn't seem like such a big deal now that we've been through or anything, but I feel like I should maybe mention I'm not actually a princess. And Leia and Luke are both like, yeah, we figured that out when you didn't know which fork to use on day one. And it's a little bit sassy, Han. And it's a little bit like, I don't have time for your shenanigans. You're here because I love you. Yeah, and then we don't end in a tragedy of three-way proportions of the actual Guinevere, Lancelot, Arthur triangle. We end up with a for propriety's sake, Luke is her right-hand man, but in, you know, private, Luke is in her bed, and Han is in her bed. And some nights, Leia's in Luke's bed, and Han's in Luke's bed. And some nights, Leia and Luke are both in the back of the caravan that Han takes on the road when he gets itchy feet. And maybe they phrase it as, well, we are doing a tour of the nation in order to survey our people and make sure their needs are being met. But it's absolutely timed around when Han can no longer stand being in the closed walls of the palace and the manners and the etiquette of it all. The end!